Welcome to the Anxiety at Work podcast. I'm Chester Elton, and this is my co-author and dear friend, Adrian Gostick.
We hope that the time you're going to spend with us will help remove the stigma of anxiety and mental health in the workplace and your personal life. We invite experts from the world of work and life to give us ideas and, most importantly, tools to deal with anxiety in our world.
And we love to give a shout out to our sponsor, Life Guides. Life Guides offers a community of trained and certified guides who provide guidance in more than 400 topics of personal growth, lifelong learning, and life challenges. By providing employees with experienced and empathetic support across a broad range of everyday life events, employees lead happier and more productive lives at home and at work. The Life Guides' mission is to grow a community of sharing and life experience, wisdom, and empathy with a goal of positively impacting the lives of a billion people within the next 15 years. Life Guides is modernizing human support and human connection, which is foundational to well-being. Just for listening to our podcast today, you can get 2 months of free access for you and your team today if all you have to do is put in 2422 at checkout. We love our sponsor at Life Guides. Well, our guest today is Ryan Jenkins, founder of LessLonely.com, a resource for addressing workplace loneliness and creating more belonging at work. He is the author, along with his co-author, Stephen Van Cohen, of the new book, Connectable, How Leaders Can Move Teams from Isolated to All In. When he's not writing and speaking, you can find him with his co-author sampling craft beers and attempting to play golf together. I got to admit, golf is the hardest game I have ever tried to play, so good for you. And of course, spending quality time with their families. Welcome to the show. We're delighted to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to this conversation.
Well, we're really excited to have you on, and you know, because this is such an important issue, this idea of loneliness. And you know, the COVID-19 pandemic, as we record this, is still lingering. Workers across the world are feeling lonelier because of it. Now, you cite some research that 72% of workers say they feel lonely at least monthly, and 55% say they feel it at least weekly. So why don't you take us through the science of belonging and why this is such a big deal?
Yeah, the research that really stood out to us was there was some research recently done where they took a group of individuals, put them through an experience of exclusion, and they monitored their brains. And of course, their brains lit up. That's not surprising. But where the brain lit up was super telling. And it was the same part of the brain that actually registers physical pain. And so when we think about the science of belonging, the importance of belonging, and if we have a workforce that is experiencing loneliness on a regular basis, they're showing up with that part of their brain lighting up, and it's almost as if they're showing up to work just as being socked in the gut consistently, and so that's where their attention is. So they're not able to show up fully to work. They're not able to show up to deliver the best work for their colleagues, customers, clients, etc. So this is why it's such an important topic that we're able to alleviate that sense of loneliness so that folks can really show up more fully for those around them and deliver exceptional work.
You know, you're so right on that, right? It's not just a mental health issue. It's a workplace productivity issue, right? You mentioned that workers that say they are lonely are 7 times less likely to be engaged at work, 5 times more likely to miss work due to stress or illness, and twice as likely to leave an employer. So that whole thing about fueling the great resignation. Okay, so for leaders that are dealing with all of this, what are some tips? What does the science tell them that they can do to help their teammates? How do they prevent all this pain and resignation?
Yeah, the first step in all this, and we highlight in the book, we create kind of a 4-step framework for leaders and really anyone that's wanting to lessen loneliness amongst their team. And that first step is awareness. It's essentially to look at loneliness. And so that can take a myriad of different approaches, right? Listening into conversations like this. It's reading the book. It's having a conversation with a colleague or the team about certain mental health dynamics. So that first step is really about looking at loneliness. So we identified some signifiers of lonely workers in the book. And so whether you're experiencing this emotion yourself, which we all do from time to time, it's a universal human condition, or you see others experiencing it, it's really important that we look for it, because what happens when we experience loneliness, we do the exact opposite of what we should do, and that is we turn inward and we become more isolated when ultimately we should be turning outward. So it's really important that we all become more aware of the conversation and the signifiers and of loneliness, so that we can identify those that are starting to disconnect from the group and starting to perhaps isolate themselves, so that we can pull them back into the tribe and make sure that we're creating that sense of belonging, so that we can, again, do exceptional work, which is really great, but also to improve our well-being, to lower any anxiety that we might experience at work. So really the first step is looking at loneliness, really starting to understand this conversation. And one of our biggest goals with writing the book was to make it much more accessible, because too often we look at and we think that loneliness is this gloomy and just dreary topic, and we're trying to go the opposite direction, that this is a universal human condition, and it's not gloomy, it's illuminating, and it's nature's nudge that we belong together, and it's just a signifier. It's kind of akin to hunger, that when we experience it, that's our signal that we should go bolster connections and foster more connections with those around us. So step one for all of us is really start looking more deeply at loneliness.
Yeah, the problem is, though, as we all know, somebody who's feeling this way, you're exactly right. They go, no, I don't want to be, you know, just leave me alone right now. Check on me in a month. And that's the worst thing we can do, right? So how do you get past that human emotion when you're dealing with other people that say, no, I'm fine?
Yes. So I think there is a way for leaders to attack this issue inside of the workplace without ever talking about loneliness, right? You don't have to beat the drum and say, hey, everyone, according to this research, we're all experiencing loneliness. You don't have to announce it, right? You can just subtly do pro-social behaviors. And oftentimes it's doing the things, just spending a little bit extra time on the things that you're already doing at work. And the reaction we've been getting from leaders and our clients that we involve in that connect with on this type of work and projects is that it's refreshing, because it just takes them, right? They think, I can do this. I don't have to do this sweeping culture change. I don't have to go convince my team members or other leaders. I can just do this myself. And that's what's really exciting. And so there's simple things like one of the organizations that we worked with, they do what's called the Inside Scoop. And they spend 5 minutes at the top of their all hands meeting, and they have someone share something that's non-work related. That's the only rule. It has to be non-work related. And the goal here is to see the human behind the job. And so one example, a gal, she actually showed a picture of her marathon training, and the whole team saw her as a very detail-oriented researcher. But then she showed that she's been training for this marathon, and she qualified for the Olympics. And now they see her as this extraordinary athlete. And that creates some new data points to where other folks can connect with her and create a deeper connection. And so as leaders, we just have to be a little bit more intentional about creating these environments where people can find these connection points and ultimately lessen loneliness. And it's so important now that we're considering going back into the office, or if we're in a hybrid or fully remote situation, we have to be that much more intentional about making sure that those moments are cultivated, so that, again, that we can create more connections across our teams.
I love that, practical tip that people are going to be writing down here. Because one of the things you say in your book is we have to invest in connection. So what does that mean, invest in it? Because what you just talked about, that Inside Scoop, that's free. So yeah. How do we invest in this? That sounds like, okay, there's money involved, but there's probably some ROI here. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so step one really is the look at loneliness, right, to understand what it is, how it shows up in the body, some identifiers of those around us that experiencing loneliness. Then the second step is invest in connection. And we break it down into three subcategories. So it's investing in safe connections, investing in personal connections, and then investing in team connections. So for leaders, it's, to establish a connection with those that they lead, but also working to create environments where people can connect with each other. So we'll just focus on investing in safe connections. So your listeners, I'm sure, are well aware of the idea of psychological safety and how important that is. And creating environments of psychological safety is wildly important if our goal is to lessen loneliness and bring people back in and out of isolation, and to create these environments where people can really connect authentically. And one simple way to create more psychological safety is for leaders specifically to speak last, right? Too often, folks that we've been working with and leaders that we interact with is, you know, they're very type A, driven, ambitious individuals. So when they have an idea or a vision for what should happen, they bring the team together and they cast that vision and they say, this is how it's going to be and this is what I'm thinking. And then they often turn it back around and say, now, what do you think, team? And at that point, it's too late, right? Everyone's going to fall in line with a leader, and any other opportunities or pitfalls that would have been expressed have now been evaporated. And so leaders should just speak last, hold their tongue, allow the other group to speak their mind and to put their ideas and thoughts on the table. And the core to creating psychological safety is to have proportionate conversations, right? Where people feel like they have the same amount of time and opportunity to create, to have their ideas heard, to have them feel seen. And so that's really important when we speak last, is you create that environment where proportionate conversations can be had. And that's the wellspring of psychological safety. So just another quick tip on how and what it looks like to invest in safe connections.
You know, it's interesting too, when you create that safe space and like you say, you create events where people can show up. You don't say, hey, we're doing this because we know you're lonely. I'll bet you get a lot of reaction where after that people say, I didn't realize how much I needed that, right? You know, we've been isolated for so long, and all of a sudden you get in a group and you say, oh yeah, I remember this feeling. I'll bet you've had a lot of people give you that feedback, haven't you?
Just last week, Chester, I had that reaction to a gal. She was sharing with me that you know, she'd been working from home for all this time. She was based in the UK, and she'd been working from home all this time, and she finally was now back to go back into the office. And she said her husband commented that, hey, since you've been going back to the office, you're back to you again. You seemed more excited. You seem more full of joy, and you seem to have a boosted well-being. And she herself didn't quite realize that, but the person closest to her had that reaction.
I love that.
And I think that's...
I love that ripple effect. You know, it's not just her, it's her husband, it's her family. Yeah. You know, we're really interested in this idea of removing the stigma around, you know, mental health and anxiety. And how are you seeing your clients overcome that stigma around loneliness, mental health, and anxiety? What are some of the things they're doing?
Yeah, it's been tricky, especially from our perspective around loneliness. Yeah. Just to give you a little context, the reason we got interested in the topic is we had been studying Generation Z, and that was the last book before this one that we had written. And we learned that Generation Z was the loneliest generation. And so we began exploring loneliness and trying to figure out why are they so lonely and what can we do to help this generation, which is the fastest growing generation that'll be coming into the workforce over the next decade. And then the pandemic occurred, and we brought all of this loneliness research to our clients thinking, I'm not sure that they're going to want to talk about loneliness. And we were dead wrong. They all wanted to talk about it. Even those that were wanting to come talk about Gen Z, as soon as we brought this idea of loneliness and connection, they were like, that's exactly what we want to talk about. And so there is this appetite for loneliness. And anytime we've brought up the topic of loneliness to friends, family, colleagues, as we've been writing this book, everyone stops, they zero right in, and they go, tell me more. Because we all have experienced loneliness, but we just never talked about it because it does have this stigma of being shameful. And we're still seeing lingerings of that in the workforce, in the corporate world, is that folks want, they know they need to address loneliness, but they still feel like that if they label a program or a campaign with loneliness, that people won't engage because it's too loaded of a word. So sometimes we skirt that by focusing more on connection or belonging or inclusion. And that tends to soften the topic up where people then can engage. And then, of course, we go right in and start talking about loneliness, and folks love it. Afterwards, they're thinking, I had no idea, but wow, I feel like this is something I can sink my teeth into. It is something that I am experiencing. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but you know, we're having to kind of do this Trojan horse where we're labeling it something else that people can find accessible, and then we're really talking about it. And we've done a very intentional job about making this topic much more accessible. In the book, we created 50 illustrations that are humorous, right? That really kind of unpack that this shouldn't be this non-approachable topic, because again, it's something we all experience. And it's not shameful. It's just simply a signal. So that's been our experience trying to destigmatize loneliness.
Yeah, that's great. I love the Trojan horse approach. We use that actually with Chester. We'll tell him like it's an open mic night, but when he gets there, it's really an intervention. So we've done that before. Yeah, we understand.
It's just because I'm so lonely. Yeah.
Hey, one of the things, I love that you start the book with the story. Now, Chester and I, we're both grew up in Canada. We're both in the U.S. now, but we grew up in Canada. So we love the story, made famous, by the way, in the movie The Grizzlies. If you haven't seen that, it's a great little movie. The little community of Kugluktuk in the Northern Territories of Canada. Now, so the reason I want you to talk about it just for a second is that this is transcends business. This is our families. This is communities. Tell us a little about that story and why you used that to kick the book off.
Yeah, I'm glad you've seen that movie, too. It is a tremendous flick, but it's a true story, and it's really, when we first came across this story, we thought it encapsulated everything that we're trying to do with this book and this conversation. And so the story is about Kugluktuk, which is one of the most northern towns in Canada, and it has a population of 1,491 folks, so it's a small community, and they used to have the highest teen suicide rates per capita in the whole world. And this is a place that's very remote. You know, it's very cold. It's dark for most of the year. And, you know, it's a place that lends itself to isolation. And so it's not surprising, while unfortunate and heartbreaking, that it had one of the highest teen suicide rates. So the community banded together, decided, let's do something about this. So they decided to introduce the national sport of Canada, which the two of you know what the answer to this is, right? The national sport, of course, is
lacrosse. Everybody knows that.
Which is surprising to folks that they, you know, they always think hockey. But I think hockey is actually a national sport, too. I think there's two that Canada has. I'll defer to both of you on that one. But they decided to introduce lacrosse, and it took off. And the gentleman, Russ Shepherd, who was the teacher at the high school, and he started the team, which were called the Grizzlies. And as you can imagine, they didn't have all the necessary gear to pull together, and they didn't have the best field to practice. But, man, they really seemed to come together and really enjoy the game. So they had to turn their attention to the Arctic Sea Lift, which is this where that's what they rely on to get their goods in their town, is they have to rely on this Arctic Sea Lift, which is a barge that pushes through these icy waters to deliver these goods to these remote towns. And so they banded together, they got all the equipment, they finally received all of this equipment, and they eventually made it to the national championships in Toronto, this small town in Kugluktuk, and their players. Which is a great feat in itself, but the undercurrent to all of this, the most staggering and encouraging point of this whole thing is once they introduced the game of lacrosse, the town that had one of the most highest teen suicide rates per capita, it actually fell to zero. Not just it didn't fall, it fell to zero. And so it's a perfect example of how isolation just battered this town and these individuals, but purpose lifted and loneliness ravaged, but belonging ultimately healed this community. So it's a great story that I think encapsulates all of it. And I think what we tell our audiences is that you know, the leaders, you're the Russ Shepherd, you're the lacrosse coach in this example. Your team are the players who are no doubt being impacted by loneliness. And the resources is the book, right? Or is the conversation around loneliness. And so if we can pull these three things together, there's some big things we can do and to create and boost better well-being, not only in our teams, but in our communities and ultimately humanity as a whole.
You know, Ryan, I think if you just get a little more passionate about the subject, people would listen to you more. It is funny. People do think that hockey, or as our European friends, ice hockey. Aiden and I go, no, it's just hockey. There's no, just you don't have to put ice in there. They do think that hockey is the national sport, but it is lacrosse. And is it surprising to you, Adrian, that the Canadians would come up with the answer? And
the answer, there you go.
Another gift.
The nicest people in the world came up with the answer.
That's right. Yeah. Canadians, we just give. We're just known as givers. Yeah. You know, the issue, I think, in a lot of this, and you're making this really revolutionary breakthrough and having the conversation, is that when times get tough, we do fall back into our old habits, you know, what we think are the tried and true ways. So how are you breaking that cycle as to, like, getting workers back to the office? What have we learned about the pandemic to create this, you know, emotionally safe workplace without falling back and saying, just suck it up, you know? Come on, Ryan, just slap a smile on your face.
Yeah, I think overcoming that, because we still get met with that often. I'm sure the both of you do too. That these are soft topics, or these are topics that are reserved outside of work. We don't have time to deal with this now. And we hope that through the research and exposing that, no, it is a very dire topic, and no longer can we divorce our personal lives with our professional lives like they're one and the same. And so we have to start taking on this mantle. And we're careful. We're not trying to ask our readers or leaders to be therapists or psychologists or any of those things. We just want you to be a little bit more in tune. And the analogy we use is that if the team members are on your bus, then their well-being is your responsibility at that point. Whatever they do off the bus, that's not on you, and they'll do what they do. But when they're on that bus, it is your responsibility. You have been selected to care for the well-being of those individuals on that bus. And so what can you do to create an environment where they can improve, right, and feel a stronger sense, in our case, of belonging? And we do believe that there is a massive ripple effect that's going to happen here, that if we can experience that at work, you can leave the bus and experience that elsewhere. So that's kind of what we're encouraging. But I think to answer your question, it's really first and foremost this awareness, right? Understanding of what it is, because we haven't talked about loneliness. Even neuroscientists have been ignoring loneliness, just like the rest of us. And so it really isn't until the last 6 years that we've identified and really been able to understand how loneliness is impacting our physical and mental health. So awareness is a big thing. And then just encouraging folks with subtle pro-social behaviors to weave in where they're already doing the things that they're already doing to make it that much easier to move the needle in this direction. So it's an uphill battle, but it's one that we're excited to be running up against.
Well, how can people learn more about your work with Stephen? Ryan, where would you point them?
Yeah, LessLonely.com it's not a dating site. It's the one-stop shop for all of your worker isolation problems. And so of course, you can grab the book there, but we've also created a ton of other resources for folks to engage with. One that really stands out and we're excited about is we actually created the world's first assessment. It's been empirically validated to figure out how strongly connected a team is, how strong their relationships are across the team. And so we want to be able to give that to organizations so that they can quantify and figure out where are they on the scheme of this, and then be able to build and function from there. And we've got a deck of cards that remote workers and even in-person workers can use to reconnect with humanity. And then we've of course, all over social, at Ryan and Steven. Even on TikTok, we're sharing connection tips. So we're trying to move this conversation.
Or, yeah.
we're working up our way to doing some more dancing. Right now, it's just really engaging videos. And then the last item to potentially connect with us is we've got a podcast called The Case for Connection, where Steve and I unpack research like Cluck Cluck that we shared, and then we give our reaction, and then we give some of our personal responses that we're doing in our own lives and in our professional lives to make a stronger case for connection and to make sure that we're building and nurturing all the connections in our own lives. So those are all the ways to connect with us. We're easy to find out there.
Excellent. You know what hasn't really taken off on TikTok, and I think you guys could really break through? Synchronized golfing.
Swimming.
I mean, everybody knows that, but you guys attempt to play golf. I think it could really be your brand. Hey, a delightful discussion. We want to know if there were just two things to take away, if you wanted people to remember two things about the conversation, what might those be?
Yeah, I think, we wrote the book for leaders, but I think this is, it's a message that anyone can grab onto, and that is that loneliness is impacting your team. It's not a matter of if it's impacting, it is. It's impacting your team, so that's kind of first and foremost. And then the second one is it doesn't take much to reduce loneliness. It just takes intentional pro-social behaviors. According to research, it's as little as a 40-second interaction can actually reduce the sense of loneliness and boost belonging in an interaction. And like that other example I gave, just 5 minutes at the start of a meeting can really lay the groundwork for moving the needle in some of these things. So yes, it's impacting your team, but it doesn't take much to reduce it. And loneliness has been increasing. Pre the pandemic, it was increasing. It escalated during the pandemic, But in my mind, that means it's malleable. And so now it's time to start working to bring that back down. And the last thing I think I'd mention, which I love this quote, it's a heartbreaking quote by Robin Williams, but it sure is poignant in, for this conversation. And Robin Williams, the late comedian and actor, said, "I used to think the worst thing in life was to end up all alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people who make you feel all alone." So I think a universal relationship rule, a law that we should all abide by, is to never make someone feel alone, especially when you're with them. So if we can all take that up on the mantle, and specifically thinking about that in the context of work, how do we make sure that we can tackle this epidemic together? Because after all, we're all connectable, and we're certainly better together.
Wow, powerful quote to end on. And that stopped me in my tracks too, and making me think, am I making people feel like they are alone or not? So Ryan, such an important discussion. So many great takeaways today. We want to thank you so much for being part of our podcast. So thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, keep making a difference, Ryan. You know, you've got the passion, you've got the humor, you've got the book, and you're right. It's an important subject. We all feel alone. You're doing great work. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Adrian, loneliness, you know, all the work we've done on anxiety, the way it ties into loneliness, the numbers he gave us, I mean, just a tremendous interview. I'm curious, though, what were some of your takeaways?
Yeah, it's interesting. As we tackled the big issue of anxiety, they're focusing really specifically on one issue that is, of course, tied to anxiety. When we feel anxious, when we feel depressed, often loneliness is associated with it. And I think his first big aha was that, for me, from Ryan, was that when we experience, say, anxiety, then we start feeling lonely, we tend to turn in, not out. We don't seek help. In fact, when people try to help, we push them away. And so how do you fight through that as a leader or somebody who cares about somebody who may be feeling this way is really important.
Yeah, wasn't it interesting, too, the brain science, that when you feel lonely, it's the same part of the brain that experiences physical pain. So he said, you're showing up lonely. It's just as if somebody had punched you in the gut. You don't think of it. I don't think of mental pain and physical pain as being the same. And yet, if it's the same part of your brain, it might as well be. And so that was a big takeaway, as well as that idea of, hey, don't be alone. You know, don't turn inward. You know what it reminded me of, Adrian? This is going to sound really goofy, but this was a little course that we were teaching in Boy Scouts years and years ago, was that when you start to choke in a restaurant, your initial reaction is to go over to the bathroom or go alone. When they say no, because you can't perform the Heimlich maneuver on yourself, right? So if you're choking, you don't go off by yourself. If you're lonely, don't go off by yourself. If you're anxious, this idea of we are social animals come together was really powerful for me.
It really was. And, you know, lots of great little tips from Ryan as well. You know, the idea of the inside scoop, having people share a little bit about themselves if they feel comfortable, you know, speaking last as a leader, you know, instead of, hey, I have this great idea about invading Ukraine. What does everybody think? Well, gee, Comrade Putin, we think it's awesome.
It takes away all the ideas once the leader says this is what we're going to do. Yeah.
Exactly. And I thought this was really important. We heard this when we wrote Anxiety at Work. Gen Z is the loneliest generation. So, you know, how do we work through that? That was very powerful.
You know, and isn't it interesting when he said that, it reminded me of Anthony when he said, you oldies never talk about anxiety. My generation is all we talk about. He said, Gen Z, you know, we talk about all these different things. We'd hit on loneliness. It lit up. That's me. This idea of connections. I really like the way he said, you know, create these little interactions, as little as 40 seconds can cause someone to not feel lonely, that they're seen, that they're heard. Creating events where people come together. And wasn't it interesting? He said just last week, a woman said, yeah, going back to work, that ripple effect, as her husband said, oh, you're back to being you. You know, you don't realize how much you need that human connection until you experience it again and you go, oh, yeah, I remember this.
It's so true. And as he said, the 45-second thing, I thought that was, I just did a coaching session with a CEO right before this. And he said, you know, he says, I've noticed that some people, I can just say hi as I walk by and they lift up. Others, they feel slighted if I don't stop, turn. I have to face them, my feet pointing toward them, connect. He says, it could just be a minute, but, you know, Chester, how was your night last night? He says, I have to create that kind of connection with them or they feel slighted. And what he's talking about, this is loneliness, right? Some people need more than others. Some people are a lot more social creatures. And so that was really a powerful takeaway as well. And I think the last one, too, is if you're going to tackle the subject, you know, we say, look, tackle anxiety by talking about anxiety. He's saying tackle loneliness. Don't talk about it. It's a loaded word.
Right.
You know,
right.
Come to it maybe more subtly.
That last quote, you know, as we wrap up from Robin Williams, you know, I loved Robin Williams. I just loved his work. And he brought such joy and of course, the tragic end, where he said, I used to think the worst thing in the world could be ending up all alone. I found that it was being around people that made me feel all alone. And it is so interesting, you know, our good friend Marshall Goldsmith, one quote that's always stuck with me, he said, you know, as you're coaching executives and as you interact, you may say things that you never remember, that those people will never forget. That simple greeting, that simple lift, that simple thing that said, hey, I'm here for you. So, such an important subject. Anxiety, loneliness, boy, they couldn't mesh together any better, eh?
No, this has been really a powerful session here. We've learned from Ryan. We want to thank our producer, Brent Klein, to Christy Lawrence, who helps us find amazing guests like Ryan, and to all of those of you who listened in, especially if you've downloaded the podcast, that helps us continue to build up this network. So, you know, thank you again for joining us today.
And share it with a friend. You know, there are a lot of people out there that are lonely and anxious, you know, to create that ripple effect. We're always thankful for our friends at Life Guides who sponsor our podcast and create that incredible guide to help you through anxious times and whatever it is. They have over 500 topics that you can deal with. And just by listening to our podcast, when you check out, you can get 2 months free access by just putting in 2422. So thanks to Life Guides. Thanks to you for giving us your time. Hopefully share it with some friends. And Adrian, wrap it up.
Well, we love speaking to audiences around the world on subjects like this, virtually or in person, on the topics of wellness, resilience, anxiety at work. So give us a call. We'd love to talk to you about your event and how we can make it a great success.
Take care and be well.